Who is emerging at Titans OTAs? The Titans back on the field for an open practice on Friday, and we're going to talk about who has been standing out so far in OTAs. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of Titan Size, publisher of NFL Draft on SI. You read his stuff every day. He's my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, how you doing today? Thursday, one day before we get another open practice and get some reports about how these Titans players are looking in May. What's up?
Doing well. Excited that we have, was it their seventh or eighth OTA practice on Friday. Only the second that is open to the media, so we should get a bunch of great clips and tidbits and quotes and updates on who's playing well and who's there, who's not there, who's not playing well. Whatever your heart desires or doesn't desire, because some of it's negative, you will get those updates on Friday. We're here to cover it today because we'll be live tomorrow morning, as per usual, Friday, 10:30 a.m. Central. Don't miss the MCA hangout sesh. And TBD, we might have a surprise for you guys on Friday. We're not sure about that yet, but stay tuned to the channel as per always. Excited to get into Titans OTAs today.
Yeah, me too, Justin. Let's remind everyone to like this video, subscribe to the channel, drop your thoughts in the comments below. Turn on channel notifications so if a surprise happens at some point, you get an alert and you're here for it. Justin, we're going to talk about guys on offense, guys on defense, guys who have stood out, guys who are emerging in this under this new coaching staff. And let's start with the where we have to start, I think. After last Thursday's practice, the last open practice, the biggest headline was, wow, Carnell Tate is already here. He's already arrived. The number one thing that I'm watching for in tomorrow's practice, as we talk about guys who are emerging, is, was that a one-off great day that the media happened to be at for Carnell Tate? Or can he keep this thing rolling? Has he been keeping it rolling in these closed practices earlier this week? And what's going to happen when the media is back out there again on Friday? I'm especially interested to see, is Shimmer Adike going to be back on the field? Is Calvin Ridley going to be on the field? Is Elik Eiermann, or guys that weren't out there last week, which I think helped contribute to Carnell Tate's big day when it's just like him, Wandale Robinson, and practice squad level players, and Bryce Oliver, sure, who's more of a special teamer than an offensive player. If those guys are not missing practice again, do they take attention and targets away from Carnell Tate, or does Carnell Tate continue to shine and continue to look like the best receiver on the field, even with everybody out there? We don't know who's going to be out there, but I'm definitely going to have my eyes on Carnell Tate's name as I read through all the reports and observations and clips that come out of tomorrow's practice.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's a great question in terms of what happens when, you know, Calvin Ridley and Chimmer and like all these other receivers are out there. Unfortunately, I doubt we're going to get the answer, right? Like if Calvin Ridley wasn't out there on Thursday, he's probably not out there on Friday. And I believe Elik Eiermann also wasn't there, though I think Shimmer Adike was there.
DK was not working on the field during the 7-on-7 or 11-on-11s. He was over on a side field with a trainer.
And I think he did some punt fielding work as well. But yeah, good point. So no DK on offense, no Ridley, no Eiermann. How did that contribute to Carnell Tate? Probably had a bit of an impact at least, right? I think if we're being honest, but does he keep it going Friday? He had 6 catches on that Thursday practice, according to Jim Wyatt, obviously 3 touchdowns, which is really the part of his performance that went viral, if you will. And, has he been outside for the closed practices, we don't know how they've been going. We've had some questions like Wandale Robinson, I think was very complimentary of how Carnell Tate's been performing. Anytime Brian Daboll or Robert Saleh speak, they seem to be very complimentary of how Carnell Tate is practicing, but no doubt about it, I'm super curious to see what kind of day he has on Friday.
And he's definitely been emerging. I mean, he emerged with, loud ringing, marching as he came through the doors last Thursday. So let's see if he can continue that on Friday. And tied to his performance is the performance of Titans quarterback Cam Ward entering year two. How well does he grasp this offense? How much does he continue to shine? Because he had, if Carnell Tate catches three touchdowns, that means Cam Ward threw three touchdowns. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that, but it did mean that last Thursday because they were all from Cam Ward. Ward also apparently hit Gunnar Helm over the seam for a nice play. Hit Daniel Bellinger. We saw a clip hit social media, I think yesterday, of him hitting Daniel Bellinger down the field. Like, can Cam Ward continue to understand and grasp and fully master this offense? It's a new offense, obviously, with Brian Daboll coming in as offensive coordinator. Like, what are the reports of Cam Ward? Does he get picked off? Is he inaccurate? Like, how are all those things progressing that we need to see from him? A little bit more consistent accuracy, hitting those downfield shots, and creating explosive plays. He was doing that, by all accounts, last Thursday. Again, we don't know what the close practices look like, but can he continue doing that during a time of year, Justin, where you typically hear that the defense is ahead? I mean, the defense is usually ahead until end of August. I guess right now it's a little different because they can't use their physicality. There's no hitting. There's no pads on. So maybe that makes gives the offense a slight leg up. But I just want to see. I just want to read about Cam Ward looking amazing. He was 11 of 17 in the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills combined last Thursday. Can you get that completion percentage number up a little bit higher in just a practice? But again, a practice where there's no contact and you cannot be sacked. So I'd love to see him go like 16 for 17 in a setting like this.
Yeah, by all accounts, Cam Ward had a strong but maybe a little short of spectacular day. Like you said, 11 of 17, multiple touchdown passes. The 52nd drill or something where they got the ball at the 50 with 46 seconds left on the clock. That was his strongest portion of practice, if you will, ended with one of those Carnell Tate touchdowns on that drive, and it's certainly a hurry up offense. He missed a couple throws, according to Jim Wyatt's observations article. So sounded like he had a good day, but I think there's wiggle room for it to get even better. Of course, we saw him. He looked slimmer, lost 10 pounds over the offseason, watching what he eats a little bit better, maybe a bit more toned and defined. And hopefully that continues leading to, these positive performances at OTAs.
Yeah, and it's tough to say that like the starting quarterback of your team is emerging in OTAs, but right. I think the way we frame this is year two, he's got to take a step forward. He flashed a ton of potential in year one, but also inconsistency, and like us as biased observers feel that he has all the tools to put it together and go have a breakout season. He has to actually do that though, and I think the reason you can say he's emerging in these OTAs is that he did show up in better shape, clearly committing seriously to getting his body right. And I think that's important. It's not that important in the grand scheme of things, but it's an indicator of how seriously he's taking this offseason, how seriously he's working on things that he views as needing to be better, which includes his fitness, his conditioning. And you can take that to things on the field that need to be better. So hopefully we continue to see those things being better. Justin, we got a few more guys on offense to talk about. Let's do that right after this quick break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, everyone. Justin, who else would you say maybe is emerging or you're keeping your eye on the offensive side of the ball here as we continue this conversation?
I'm sorry, but I'm going to bring up Will Levis because by all accounts, he had a pretty strong practice on Thursday. Again, Mitch Trubisky was not present for this Thursday's practice. So that allowed Will Levis to kind of step into that QB2 role, run the second team offense, kind of put him in direct competition with Hendon Hooker, since Titans only had three veteran quarterbacks there in Ward, Levis, and Hooker. And again, by all accounts, Levis was a lot better than Hooker was. Jim Wyatt had him completing a bunch of throws. He hit Xavier Restrepo on a bullet pass. He hit Lance McCutcheon on a deep touchdown. He was picked by back-end safety Eric Hallett towards the end of practice, but I think they had him at, 10 of 14? So yeah. Strong day for Will Levis on Thursday. Better completion percentage than Cam Ward. And, the Titans are saying all the right things when they talk about Will Levis, right? You and I still believe that they'll probably look to trade him at some point this offseason. But anytime you hear Borgonzi, Robert Saleh, Brian Daboll talk about Will Levis, it's, we're excited to have him here. He's an asset on this roster. He can be a really good number three quarterback. Again, I just can't get there. I'm sorry. It's not that I don't think he can be that. I just don't. If you have any faith in Will Levis, I don't think you bring in Mitch Trubisky. And honestly, yeah, it's unfair to Will Levis to expect him to be a number three quarterback. Like, I think he can find a much better situation for himself elsewhere where he could absolutely be a number two, that might even has a chance to play for a bad team at some point.
Yeah, I will not believe that the Titans have any intention of carrying more than two quarterbacks on the roster into September until it I will not believe that unless it happens. And right now they have four quarterbacks on the roster, so you're likely looking at Levis and Hooker in some way, shape, or form, whether they're traded or cut outright or waived during cut down days. Like, but those guys aren't going to be here in September, September.
And I could see Hooker signing to the practice squad immediately after, because like, he's a local guy. And in all honesty, he hasn't done enough in the NFL to have a better opportunity than being a number three on a practice squad type quarterback. Whereas I think Will Levis, I think there's still some hope there for him to be something better, bigger than that.
And there was reports, I think Nick Suss is the one who talked about how Levis has done a really good job so far in the practice they've seen, the one practice, I guess, that they saw, of like not throwing 100-mile-per-hour fastballs on every throw, but throwing with touch, layering the ball, like dropping it over defenders into his receiver's arms, like things that you want to see progress from. Like if we were still talking about things we wanted to see from Will Levis, like that would be one of the things we would see. One of the things I don't need to see from Will Levis is his mom going on talk shows or podcasts or whatever and talking about the, you know, illicit tape that was leaked. Anyway, that made headlines earlier this week. And so Will Levis is a talking point here today. I'll throw one last name out. Justin, somebody we didn't really mention last week when we were talking about observations from the Thursday practice, but Tajay Spears apparently looks electric. Looks like he has a ton of juice. This would be at least the second, if not more, straight offseason that we hear a lot of positive, glowing spring reports about how Tajay Spears looks. I kind of wonder if we were robbed of seeing a breakout Tajay Spears season last year because he suffered that injury early in training camp and then was sort of not himself until midseason. But I think Tajay Spears has a chance in the last year of his contract to go earn some money this year. It may not be for this Titans team. In fact, I'd be surprised if it was. But I think that, you know, they can go out there and more or less run him into the ground, so to speak. I mean, they're going to use, I think, multiple backs a lot in this offense. But use Tajay Spears in the passing game and not be afraid to overwork him, because I don't think they're going to care about, you know, next year with Tajay Spears. But I think Tajay Spears has a chance to be a playmaker for this offense, somebody that they need him to be, because you can never have enough playmakers. He's apparently flashing early. I don't know if he counts as somebody who can emerge, but I would say that he has emerged. I mean, I almost wrote off the idea that Tajay Spears even exists anymore. I mean, you know me, Justin. I was fully on like Jeremiah Love is about to be the bell cow of this team 2 months ago. I obviously don't believe that anymore. In fact, I'm fully out on Jeremiah Love now, Justin, after learning that he doesn't know who Jared Goff is. Like,
that sounds impossible. Yeah, I didn't see that story, but how?
He had never heard of Brandon Aubrey. Never heard of him. Brandon Aubrey went to Notre Dame. Now, Brandon Aubrey didn't play football in college. He played soccer and ended up as an NFL kicker. But still, I mean, that's like an NFL professional athlete who is maybe the best kicker in football, who went to your college and you never heard anyway. Tajay Spears, I think, has a chance to like remind people that he is a playmaker. And I think that he's doing that so far in OTAs.
It's yeah. Jim Wyatt brought up a good point in his article. It's unfortunate. It's been so long. Things happen. You forget. Like, he looked really good this time last year. And then he had the injury, quick correction on your end. He had the injury, I think, in the first preseason game is when he suffered the injury. Ended up being pretty serious, knocked him out for a couple of games. Second straight year it was where he's missed multiple games. Second straight year where he averaged under 4 yards per carry. I hate to say it, but I do think Tajay Spears probably ends up a what-if case. It just seems like he can never stay healthy for consistently long enough to hit his stride, get some momentum. When he is healthy, I still think to this day, he's dynamic, explosive. He could be a weapon in space. If he could just avoid that nagging injury and the Titans could take advantage of giving him 6 touches per game, he'll have a chance to make explosive plays, right? Because that's just what he does in space. Hit him in the screen game, in the pass, the short yardage game, the passing game, whatever it is. I like what he does. The health thing always scares me with him. Good to see that he had a great practice on Thursday. I hope he can sustain it.
Yeah, I hope he can sustain it. But more than that, I hope he can stay healthy. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball now, Justin. We talked about Femi Oladejo on Tuesday's episode this week. We went really deep on whether or not he has a chance to be a breakout linchpin for this defense, key player on that side of the ball. I'm curious if he's out there on the field during team portions of practice, not just individual work, or if he's still working on a side field. We did get, I don't want to say a correction, but a nice comment on our Femi episode, because we were talking about we don't know how healthy he is after he fractured his leg last year. A reminder to us from somebody in the comments reminding us that Femi was like sort of back at practice those last couple weeks of the season, and it was a question mark of whether he would be able to return. He obviously did not end up returning, but it wasn't like he was months away in November and December. He was almost back out on the field. So you'd think 5 months later, he should be okay to practice. And again, we don't know what the practice schedule in terms of like on days and off days for each individual player is here. When you had 2 days on last week and then an off day, or 2 days on last week before Thursday, and then a bunch of guys reportedly taken off early for Memorial Day weekend. Like, maybe they just took it easy with him last Thursday, but maybe he'll be back out there. I don't know. Regardless, I'm curious to see what the participation status is for Femi Oladejo so that the episode we recorded on Tuesday can come to fruition and this guy can break out and be a key member for the defense.
Yeah, I'll definitely be paying close attention to what Femi's status is at Friday's practice. And I hope someone asks, Robert Saleh about his participation, his injury status. I mean, I don't think teams have to divulge information about that. But I was watching Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald speak after Seattle OTAs the other day, and he's usually like very old school, close to the vest. And he provided injury updates on, Torrey Horton and a couple of those other guys who are coming back from 2025 injury. So I hope we get a more, solid update on Femi and what his current status is. I'm going to move us along to rookie linebacker Anthony Hill Jr. You want to talk about emerging? You're automatically emerging if you've never played in the NFL before, and there's nothing to go off, right? So Anthony Hill, again, by all accounts, stellar Thursday practice, had a would-be pick six interception of Hendon Hooker, ran it back. That clip made it onto social media. Titans tweeted out the Anthony Hill interception. I continue to really love this pick. I think he's going to be a day one starter, a day one contributor for this defense. Think he has every trait Robert Saleh wants in a linebacker across his front seven. And I hope he keeps it going at Friday's practice, because again, it seems that the initial word is that they're very, very impressed with how Anthony Hill, they liked him, rookie minicamp all the way till now, continue building momentum for himself at OTAs.
Justin, I would say just because you're a rookie doesn't automatically mean you're emerging. I think maybe what you meant to say is, if you're playing well as a rookie, you're automatically emerging because you didn't have a status before that. The Titans put out on Thursday morning a Wandale Robinson mic'd up OTAs thing. And we'll come back to this because there's another thing I want to talk about from that. But You see Cody Barton and Wandale kind of going back and forth during team stretch period. And then Wandale hits Barton with a little inside cut, short route, and just absolutely abuses him in the open field later during team practice. I think 11 on 11 practice. And I'm sitting there watching that thinking like, Cody Barton just got worked. And I love that the Titans have a player like Wandale Robinson who can abuse coverage linebackers who struggle over the middle of the field like that. But I was also thinking like, maybe we just try it. Maybe we just say, Anthony Hill, you want to try to be this guy in coverage? I mean, that was like, I watched every Texas game. I think I watched every snap that Anthony Hill took for that Texas defense. Like, I'm not saying he's a great coverage linebacker, but he made a lot of plays in coverage. He's an off-ball guy. He's really athletic, really fast and instinctual, always around the ball. Like, let's get him out there and see what happens. I don't know. He's definitely, if he wants to fully emerge, as you said, be a day one starter, he's got to unseat Cody Barton. And if Cody Barton keeps getting abused in practice and Anthony Hill keeps pulling pick sixes, I mean, I'm basing this on two plays, but you know what I mean?
Well,
then yeah, Anthony Hill has a chance.
I think you could also base it on last season, right? Like, it wasn't rare that Cody Barton got a little bit abused in coverage at times, right? Like, he's getting up there in age. I don't think he's the most athletic, quick-footed linebacker when it comes to coverage. So I'll try it. Like, yeah, I agree. Anthony Hill's very athletic. You saw him make a lot of plays in coverage at Texas. He's long. He's instinctual. I certainly am at least wondering if he's, just based on being a better athlete alone, is he better suited to defend some of those plays where you've got like a shiftier one, you know, undersized, speedy Wandale Robinson coming across the middle.
I think the one thing he has to do more than like be good on the field is he has to be able to communicate the defense to his teammates, because that's what Cody Barton does now. And I think that that might be more valuable than an average fan would think compared to like the actual play on the field. That communication ability is also vitally important for someone who's going to unseat a veteran like Cody Barton. So he's got to be able to like understand the defense. That stuff doesn't happen for rookies in May. This is a training camp storyline, but he's emerging now, so we're talking about him now.
Barton's not an easy guy to dethrone because he's a team leader, experienced, mature. They're going to really love Mike Borgonzi loves him, and I don't know that he'll have the qualities that Robert Saleh and Gus Bradley value from like a athletic and physical perspective, but I do think they're going to love Cody Barton, the, you know, potential green dot kind of guy in the locker room. So I agree with you, but we got three more guys we're going to hit who are emerging at Titans OTAs right after this short break.
Oh, welcome back, everyone. Justin, you said it a second ago. If you're a rookie who makes a play, you are automatically emerging. We got another one we're going to talk about next. Titans' second first-round pick. Is that confusing? The second first-round pick, Keldrick Faulk, reportedly had what would have counted as a sack in the last open practice last Thursday. And by the way, earlier this week, Keldrick Faulk finally signed his rookie contract, which means all eight of the Titans draft picks have signed their rookie contracts. Everybody's under contract, no holdouts. Long gone are the days where it's like the third day of training camp and you're still waiting for your first round pick to sign his contract. No more, Justin. We got everybody under their deals now. But I am curious to see, can Keldrick Faulk continue to flash, not just on the defensive side of the ball where, you know, run defense this time of year when, again, you don't have pads and there's no contact. It's like, what even is run defense right now? But can he continue to flash as a pass rusher? Which even then is sort of like, what, again, there's no pads, there's no contact. But hey, he had a sack already in last week's practice. Can he get another one on Friday, or at least be mentioned when guys are writing up their OTA observations, when the media is out there writing these things up? Is anyone going to write about Keldrick Faulk making another play? We'll see. I hope so.
Yeah, the truth is, you know, no such things as sacks and run defense when there's no pads on and no physical contact is permitted, admitting the obvious or the truth. But with that said, I'd rather someone say he got into the backfield for a would-be sack than he did nothing the entire practice. And if you can't even get into the backfield with no pads on, you're going to really struggle when the pads come on, right? So you better be making plays this time of year, and it sounds like Keldrick Faulk did that at Thursday's practice last week. I'll continue to beat the drum of, from a body type perspective, physical traits standpoint, he's everything that Robert Saleh wants in like that big, long, early down defensive end. I think he fits this defense like a glove. precisely why the Titans were oddly or going against the grain from the norm, if that makes any sense. And that's not, you know, verbal diarrhea, by getting aggressive and trading back up into the first round. That's not something we expected them to do at all in this draft. They did it. First of all, they got a good deal, right? They didn't give up any picks. It was a 2-for-2 pick swap. But they did it because of how much they value the thought of Keldrick Falk playing in Robert Saleh's defense. So to hear that he sort of hit the ground running, I think is extremely positive.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye out for his name and hope that he does well again on Friday. And Justin, I will just say quickly while I'm talking about this that like you and I and everyone else who is a Titans fan or media member, we are going to react to the open practices because that's all we get to see and hear about. We don't know what's happening at those other practices where there's no media. And like for the coaching staff, there's no difference between an open practice and a closed practice. They're evaluating everybody every day. And so it's about stacking days. It's not about stacking days where the media was at practice. So like we're not going to get a true good sense. You know, during training camp, the media is there every day. Basically, every practice is open for the most part. So we're going to like get a lot better sense of who's doing well on a consistent day-to-day basis. For now, we're talking about guys who are emerging. That means that you stood out in some way or another. And I think we can safely say everyone we've talked about so far has done so. The next guy I want to hit hasn't exactly done so, but he also kind of has because we've heard the coaching staff talk about Marcus Harris, who is the favorite to win the slot cornerback position. It's not like we've gotten a lot of practice reports about what Harris has been doing out there, but I will say, we mentioned earlier, I referenced the Wandell Robinson mic'd up video. And there's one rep in this video where Wandale tries to run a slot fade and Marcus Harris is in coverage. And he is sticky like flypaper on Wandale. Blanket. I mean, it's perfect coverage. And he's like talking smack at Wandale after the rep, after the play ends, like telling him, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he's like, he's in his face, like, I'm here. And it's a great rep. And it's exactly like Marcus Harris. I don't know about you, Justin, but I think one of the concerns about him was, does he have the long speed to defend down the field if somebody tries to run by him? And like, you know, again, there's no pads. It's not like real contact, but you can see him getting a little physical in the route stem with Wandale. And you don't necessarily have to be the fastest guy in the world to keep up with a receiver running down the field. We saw this with L'Jarius Sneed a lot back when he was good. Is like, if you can get physical in the route stem, you can stay in a receiver's hip pocket fairly easily because you're knocking them off their course and they're not running. Even if the guy runs like a 4-3, which is not Wandale Robinson, but even if the guy runs a 4-3, it's like when you're up there on his body, he's running in the 4-6s, and that is a speed that the cornerback can keep up with. Anyway, I'd love to get some reporting from the guys at practice, or the media at practice, I should say, guys and gals, on what Marcus Harris looks like, because I don't know if we heard his name last week. Did we? Am I missing something?
I don't think we did. Glad you brought that up, because you're right. Like, there hasn't been a whole lot of, you know, buzz from Thursday's practice on Marcus Harris, but two reasons we decided to include him in this conversation. Number one, as you watch, great point, you watch the Wandale Robinson mic'd up video on YouTube. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. Hidden in there, because obviously what's going to catch your attention is the trash talk, and there's a lot of fun, and it's a short video, but it's a lot of fun. But hidden in there is that Marcus Harris rep where we talked about how athletic Wandale Robinson is embarrassing Cody Barton in the open field. Well, how about Marcus Harris's ability to blanket him on that slot fade rep? Arrow very much pointing up. The second reason we decided to feature Marcus Harris in this conversation, not only do we have that rep, but a couple weeks ago, still remember that Robert Saleh brought him up unprompted. I don't remember it's been a few weeks what the question was, but Marcus Harris is awesome. Don't sleep. I think he said verbatim, don't sleep on Marcus Harris in response to a question that was not about Marcus Harris, right? It was about the defense or the corners in general. So excited about Marcus Harris. Love seeing that rep buried in the Wandale Robinson mic'd up video. I don't think he's facing any competition for that nickel role, to be blunt. Like, I don't know who else is starting there. It's Mark. They could, you know, incorporate some three safety looks and, you know what I mean? Where maybe the Kevin Winston is playing like a big nickel and you have Tony Adams or another Bishop Fitzgerald. He's a UDFA, but playing opposite Amani Hooker. But I think for the most part, this is going to be Marcus Harris at nickel. If you don't mind, I can go from one corner to the other unless you have a response to Marcus Harris.
No, take it away, Justin. Wrap us up with the last guy that we felt has been emerging at Titans OTA so far.
Yeah. And we don't have a lot here, a full disclosure, but I did note that in Jim Wyatt's article on Thursday, he said, and I'm just going to read it verbatim, defensive back Joshua Williams got my attention.
Calling out Jim, just like, come on, Jim, with the typo. That's you. That's what you said.
I was reading. I was like, wait, I almost messed it up. No, Joshua Williams caught my attention with one defensive play. The reason I bring it up is Joshua Williams is probably going to play more football for the Titans this year than you think he's going to. And I don't mean to be negative, but I don't know any cornerback in the NFL room that gets through a season completely unscathed, right?
Right.
And if Marcus Harris is the every down nickel, he's not playing outside at all. I don't think he's playing outside at all. There's also not a lot of competition for Joshua Williams to be the first man off the bench behind Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott on the boundary. Now, look, Joshua Williams is not good enough or done enough in this league that he's awarded that role, but it would really take like a UDFA corner like Latrell McCutcheon to come in and steal that from him. Or Micah Robinson, you know, who's back here at OTAs, who I think has some inside-outside versatility. But I think when you look at the names that are in the mix, Joshua Williams, who signed a 2-year contract in free agency, and Mike Borgonzi obviously knows from his days in Kansas City together, I think he's the overwhelming favorite to be the new Daryl Baker, right? Like the first outside corner off the bench. And guess what? Daryl Baker played a lot of ball here because outside corners tend to get banged up throughout the season. So that's why I bring up Joshua Williams. It's one of those things where it's like, and I hope to God this doesn't happen, but you know when you're in week 3 and there's all these things happening that you didn't expect? Like, Daryl Baker's a starting corner on the Titans now. Well, Joshua Williams is, like, that could happen, right? Like, Joshua Williams is starting corner. Cordell Flott, who's, like, thin-limbed, and I do kind of worry about holding up a little bit. He's been pretty healthy, very healthy throughout his NFL career, to be fair. But you know what I mean. These things happen at corner. And I think it was good to note that Joshua Williams made that play at open practice because Titans are probably going to need him more than they'd like to admit.
And Cordell Flott and Alante Taylor both missed that Thursday's open OTA last week, which gave Williams an opportunity to like play against the first team offense and really show what he can do in that role, which, as you say, as you just said, like, he might have to do more than you hope this season just because of the nature of that position. So yeah, good stuff there. Justin, that's a good list of guys who are emerging at a Titans OTAs, guys that we'll be watching to see if they continue to emerge on Friday. And who else could stand out? We'll cover that when we get a chance to recap Friday's open OTA practice, but that's all we got for this one.
That's going to do it. We'll be back Friday with a special live episode as per usual, 10:30 a.m. Central. Make sure you're there. Come hang out, ask us questions. We'll be answering questions in the chat. Super chats always welcome as per usual. And we'll see you then Friday, 10:30 a.m. Central. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.